How many people do you think are actually named in the Bible? There's more than 1,000 pages in the Bibles that you've got in front of you. How many people do you think are named? Well, it turns out I didn't spend my half term trying to count. I had better things to do playing in the Peak District. But somebody else has, and they've come up with a figure at 3,237. So what's that? That's about 3 per page, and yet it probably feels in our reading today that we've got more than an average amount. What on earth? How do we make sense of all these names? Well, I think first of all we need to remind ourselves that this book, the Bible, isn't just thoughts about God. It is that, but it's more than that. Maybe we think it's commands from God, as in, you know, a guidebook for life. But it is that, but it's more than that. The message of the Bible is the story of how much God loves us, shown in sending his son, Jesus. And it's a story, a real story that involves real history and real people. And so each of those names is important. And then there's countless others who we encounter, but we're not told what their names are. If you shake this book, it's as if all these lives come tumbling out, and this book has continued to shape countless lives around the world, down through history, including many of us sitting here today. So what do we make of all these different names? We encounter, don't we, a whole list, a whole host of different people. If we shake Colossians 4, we discover Tychius and Onesimus. We find all these other names that we're never quite sure how to pronounce. And so whoever does the Bible reading, well done, Claire, is given a bit of a gauntlet to run. But the thing is, if you say it with enough authority, everybody goes, oh, that's how you say it. So thanks for teaching us, Claire. Aristarchus, Mark, Barnabas. There's even a guy called Jesus. You can kind of understand why he went by his middle name, Justus. Epaphras, Luke, Demas, Nympha, Archippus. Paul himself, we're told about the church that met in Nympha's house, the church in Laodicea. And we hear these names and they don't really mean a lot to us because they're not people we personally know. And the temptation is to blast through this at high speed as if we're driving in the fast lane of the motorway. But how different it would have been for that church all those years ago, gathering together this letter from Paul being opened and these names being read out. And every time a name is mentioned, everybody smiles. Oh, yeah. I remember him. Yes, that's her. They know them, they love them, and they are part of each other's lives because they share in Jesus. Now, I think we can experience something of what they experienced today. Because I don't have a letter from anybody to read out, but this morning I do have a video for us to watch.
To God's holy people in Thermby, greetings, brothers and sisters, from all of us at Living Hope. We often ask God for more, but God often asks us for more. So what might God have for you next? Always be listening well, but be encouraged and be excited. God is faithful.
My name's Dom. I work for Scripture Union. It's a privilege to be joining you in this way and to speak to you. A huge thank you for your generosity, your support of our ministry. I lead a team across Central England that supports churches in their outreach, their mission to children and young people. We would love to come and speak to you in the flesh or to support your ministry to the emerging generation. In the meantime, just want to pray that you have a blessed time worshipping Lord Jesus Christ.
Hi everyone at St Luke's. My name's Eleanor Jeans. I was curate at St Luke's from 2011 to 2014 and I'm currently associate vicar at St Paul's Church in Leamington Spa. Although I'm not in Leamington today, as you can see, I'm actually in Tunisia. So this is greetings from Africa to you in Leicester. One thing I want to share with you today is that I've been thinking a lot about joy. And when we think about joy, we often think about the things externally that make us happy. But the Bible reminds us that joy is something that comes from within. It comes from relationship with Jesus. Lots of love to you all over in Leicester. Have a wonderful day.
Greetings, brothers and sisters at St Luke's in Thermby. Steve here. We're sending love from all of us at St Catherine's Church down the road to you. And want to encourage you to keep strong, proclaiming the gospel. And we're very grateful for our partnership that we have with you, that we aren't alone down here. We're working together to make Jesus known in this area.
I used to come to this church as a teenager. Now I'm living in Sheffield, and for this year, I'm an intern at my church, Christ Church Forward, working with students. This year, it's been great to get stuck into learning the Bible, serving, and most importantly, growing my relationship with the Lord.
Hello, this is Joy Dongardive from Pune, India, and I really thank God for the opportunity that I got to thank you, even from very far away and after many years. And I really thank St. Luke's and the vicar and the board member, church member, and who's been praying for us and standing with us and trusting us what we are doing here. As we all living life in Christ, we've been trying to help people, those who doesn't have hope. And this hope is coming from the Lord, that Jesus, who saved our life. And we trying to help these people. And I really thank you for you all guys have been really standing with us, and your generosity and your giving, all that helping here in the ministry.
Good morning, St. Luke's. It's Mark here, Church Partnership and Resources Manager for Mission Aviation Fellowship. We are sending our love and greetings to you this morning. I also wanted to take this opportunity to thank you for your support to MAF over the years. It's churches like yourself that enable us to carry on this life-saving and vital work to these isolated communities all around the world. So thank you so much for that. May God blessings be with you.
Hello, St. Luke's. My name is Saju. I am the Bishop of Loughborough. The one thing I wanted you to hear today is that Jesus loves you. Everything in the heart of God is an expression in Christ Jesus that says, you are loved. That's what I want you to know today. May grace be yours.
Hi everyone, my name is Ed Down. I'm the Minister for Hope Hamilton Church, and I send our greetings from Hamilton. We urge you to keep running the race that is before you with perseverance, fixing your eyes on Jesus. And we are grateful that you are our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Hey St. Luke's, this is Deborah Dyes from the Patronage team. CPAS are your patrons and are working very closely with the diocese for a good and successful vacancy process. Hey, I just want to say that the Lord is holding St. Luke's by his hand and is directing your paths. And also, Rob Miles sends his love to you all.
Well, greetings to you all in Thurnby. My name is Will Warren. I'm the vicar of Cromer here in Norfolk, and it's been my joy and privilege to welcome many of you to join our Sunday worship during your holidays. My message for you all is the same as the Apostle Paul to the church family in Corinth. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labour is not in vain. God bless you all.
That's what Colossians 4 feels like. It's good, isn't it? Different people, churches and mission partners. Yeah, let's give it a clap. Yeah, I like that. It's good. Different people, different churches, different mission partners we have links with. Different people, churches and mission partners who we love and they love us. People, churches and mission partners who are part of us and we are part of them. Why? Because we've been brought together in Christ. As we've been hearing in the letter to Colossians, together we have been raised, fully alive with Christ. You see, life following Jesus, as I said at the start of the service, is not something any of us do on our own. Jesus calls us each by name. We make a personal decision to follow Jesus, and yet we never do it alone. That's not how Jesus designed it. It's why in Layla's baptism earlier, I asked whether we would all uphold her in her life following Jesus. Layla needs us, and we need Layla. But it reaches beyond just being part of a local church, because there are local churches that have existed, do exist, and will exist around the world. Communities where people who would normally have nothing to do with each other, have very little in common, suddenly are sharing everything together in Jesus. each church being like a little beacon of light in a dark world. Why is it that following Jesus has been designed like this? Why can't we just get on with following Jesus on our own and just be left to ourselves? Why do we need to meet like this on a Sunday? Why do we need to hear from what's happening in Thurmaston and Houghton and Africa and India and Hamilton and Cromer? Because if we don't blast through these verses at the end of Colossians 4 too quickly, thinking we don't know these people, we get to spot a couple of things, a few different things. We'll spot that we need encouragers of hearts, wrestlers in prayer, and completers of ministry. We need encouragers of heart. And Paul was in no position to deliver his letter himself. If you look at the very last verse, verse 18, it says, isn't it? He's in chains. He's in prison. He can't even pop up to the post box to stick the letter in the post. Instead, he sends it by Tychicus and Onesimus. I could imagine. No, I can't really. But imagine being locked up. I imagine the only bright thing you would have is looking forward to when people would visit you. Paul is willing to give up two of those people who would regularly visit him. He's willing to give them up to go to the Colossians. Why? So that they could encourage their hearts. Verse 8. Tychicus will come. He will encourage your hearts. You see, encouragement is like rocket fuel to the Christian life. There is so much in the world around us, so much in our own experience of life, what we see Christians saying or doing that ends up leaving us discouraged, disheartened, or distracted. For these guys here in Colossae, they've heard that Paul and others are suffering. That's got them down. They've got people around them saying, well, if you're going to be a proper Christian, you've got to do all this religious activity, or you've got to have all these spiritual experiences. And they're kind of going, well, is that it? Is that right? Or maybe just it feels like their life as a church isn't as exciting as what's happening down the road at the church in Laodicea. So what does encouragement of heart look like for us? Well, I think first of all, it's about presence. Notice Tychicus just turns up, doesn't he? He just arrives. That was the encouragement. Never underestimate the encouragement of just turning up. By your turning up, before you've even sat down, before you've done anything, before you've said anything, you've encouraged. Your turning up might look like deliberately being part of other people's lives this week. It might be making sure that you actively send a message out to somebody so that they know they're not forgotten, their circumstance is not forgotten, that they're still part of the church community. Those who are unable to be here or watching online, reaching out and letting them know that you're known, you're loved, you're part of us. Encouragement at heart, it's about presence, but it's also about stories of how God is at work. Tychicus, do you notice? He was going to bring stories from Paul. At the end of verse 9, it says, they will tell you everything that is happening here. You know, I need to hear the stories of how God is at work in your lives. We need to hear the stories of how God is at work in each other's lives. I probably need to be better at making sure those stories get the airtime that they need. God is at work. We need to hear that. Encouragement at heart is about pointing people to Jesus. Every single person on that video, I didn't ask them to do it, pointed us to Jesus. Did you spot that? Tychicus comes as a dear brother, a faithful minister, fellow servant in the Lord. And we meet together as a church because we don't have our lives all together. We all need Jesus. And I need you to point me to him, and I need to point you to him. Because Jesus is the only one who's the way and the truth and the life. He's the only one we can come to know God as our Father. We need encouragers of hearts, and we need to be encouragers of hearts. I wonder this week, who will you go out of the way for to encourage their heart? Who is it going to be? Maybe don't just stop at the easy, obvious people. We need encouragers of hearts. Second, we need wrestlers in prayer. Next person to spot, it's there in verse 12, Epaphras, what great name. He is always, we're told, wrestling in prayer for you. Epaphras probably started the church in Colossae. He's now with Paul. He's taken on extra responsibilities for these other churches in Laodicea and Hierapolis. And maybe the Colossians are thinking, well, we're out of sight. We're out of his mind. Paul says, no, he's wrestling in prayer for you. What I need you to pray for me, what I need to pray for you actually isn't complicated. Do you spot how Paul says what Epaphras is praying for them? In verse 12, he goes on, he says, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. He's praying that they would abide in Christ, grow in Christ, be confident in Christ. I wonder, will you pray that for me this week as I pray that for you? The challenge then is not what to pray. The challenge is actually praying. You spot that? Epaphras wrestles. It's physical. He struggles. He fights. He contends. He keeps going. He doesn't let go. It's a kind of praying that doesn't come naturally or easily. It's a kind of praying that holds tightly to the promises God has given, even when they don't feel real. It's a kind of praying that takes hold of the character of God that he's revealed and say, Lord, why is it not more like this? It's a wrestle. The godparents of Layla, earlier, you promised to pray for her. You've promised to wrestle for her, that she would grow up to know the love Jesus has for her and that for her love to be directed towards Jesus. Where did Epaphras learn to wrestle in prayer? Well, surely it was from Paul. Earlier on in this letter, Paul talked about praying for the Colossians. He says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Paul is a great wrestler in prayer, but notice the very last verse. He just gives a little description of what's going on for him. He just says, remember my chains. Is that not an invitation from Paul that the Colossians would wrestle in prayer for him? We need wrestlers in prayer. I need you to wrestle in prayer for me. And guess what? We also need to be those who wrestle in prayer for others. I wonder this morning, who is it? Who is it that the Holy Spirit is prompting you to pray for? Not just pray for, but to wrestle in prayer for this week. We need encouragers of hearts. We need wrestlers in prayer. And we need completers of ministry. Archippus, verse 17. Do you know what? We know almost nothing about him. We know even less about his ministry that he was to complete was. What we know is he was given a job by the risen Jesus and he needs to do it. He's been given gifts in the circumstance he's living in. He's been confirmed by others around him and he was to serve. Archippus was to keep going. Maybe Archippus had become discouraged, disheartened. Maybe he got distracted. Maybe he was feeling weary and fed up and being like, well, it's time for other people to do the job, not me. Maybe he's just got a bit comfortable. And his eagerness and his enthusiasm that was there early on has just dried up. Over the last month or so, I've already lost my copy, but there we go. I've been asking people who were part of St. Luke's here to consider what area of church life excites your heart, because that's likely the place to use your gifts and to think through ways to serve. And there's some forms dotted around. You can fill them out. That's not signing up to do any jobs, but it's signing up to have a conversation about how you might use your gifts or continue to use your gifts in the life of St. Luke's. All of us have different gifts from the Lord, but we need each of us have different abilities to use our gifts, but we all need to get stuck in. We need completers of ministry. We need to be completers of ministry. Why has Jesus designed life with him to be lived out in community? Because we need encouragers of heart. We need wrestlers in prayer. We need completers of ministry. But maybe this morning, before you need any of those things, you're listening in and going, actually, I first need to say yes to Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who can bring a whole random collection of people together. Jesus is the one who knows absolutely everything about us and yet has still chosen to love us deeper than anybody else. See, Jesus is the one who was willing to give up absolutely everything, his whole life sacrificed on a cross for your forgiveness. And if that's you this morning going, actually, I first need to say yes to Jesus, to follow him, it really is as simple as saying yes. A yes that starts with one word and then filters into every part of your life. Takes root in every part of your life, and you take root in a church community like this one. And perhaps to you this morning, as you leave, you need to say to somebody, maybe it's somebody next to you who you know is a Christian, and say, I want to say yes. Or maybe you need to say to me, I'm new to all of this, will you pray for me? Do you know what? If you say that to me, I will wrestle in prayer for you this week. Or maybe you just simply need to come back to St. Luke's again. Experience something of our life together. Why on earth would this bunch of people sit in an old building on a Sunday morning? And discover it's because of the love Jesus has for us. We need encouragers of heart, wrestlers in prayers, completers of ministry, because at the end of the day, it all boils down to this. We all need Jesus. And we believe he's alive. We believe he's real. We believe he makes all the difference in life. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together this morning. Thank you for all who've come, maybe for the first time, never been here before. I pray, Lord, that the glimpse of our life together would shine a bright light on Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for bringing us together, for being our Savior, for being the one who, as we sang earlier, directs our destiny. Please would you help us to be a place where hearts are encouraged, where we wrestle in prayer, where we complete ministry, where Jesus is treasured, and where Jesus is held out to others. Lord, we can't do this on our own. We need your Spirit to continue to fill us, I pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.